I welcome everyone to our leaders' meeting tonight in Jesus' name. And I pray that the Lord will open our eyes of understanding to see wondrous things out of His word in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for protecting us, preserving us, keeping us alive, healthy and well for your service. We're asking, Lord, that your people will purposefully, practically, passionately continue in the ministry you have given every one of us in Jesus' name. Open our eyes of understanding as we look at the passage before us today. In Jesus' name we pray. We're looking at Psalm 139 today. Psalm 139. We're reading from verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. In verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Verse 3, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. In verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Let's go to verse 7. In verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? In verse 8, it says, if I ascend up into heaven. Actually, that word in the original is in the plural. If I ascend up into the heavens, far above the skies, all the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Then in verse 9, it says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. Verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall uphold me. Verse 23. In verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my way and know my thoughts. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. As we reach that psalm, and you look at all the verses, there is a word that comes up every time. The word me, personal. This psalmist knew, as everybody ought to know, as every believer, every sinner ought to know, that God watches our steps everywhere. Our ways, our words, our thoughts, our plans, our actions, they are not hidden from God. In fact, it says, thou art acquainted with all my ways. All my ways, all my plans, all my actions, you are acquainted with everything. He had said in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me. You've searched me, you have examined me, and you are following me everywhere, and your presence is everywhere, watching where I am, what I do, what I think, and the ways I go. And now in verse 23, he's pleading with God again, search me, O God, and know my heart, know my intention, know my passion, and know everything that I do, the places I go, and the people I interact with, and the purpose of my heart, and everything I do. Search me and know my heart. Try me, examine me, evaluate me. I don't want the evaluation on the final day alone. I want the evaluation now the examination now, so that if there is any sin improper, every sin like iniquity, every sin like sin, now that I have chance to cleanse my way and to plunge in the stream of your mercy and forgiveness, I will do that. And then from now on, after you have searched me and tried me and cleansed me and washed me and pardoned me and put my feet in the right path, you will lead me in the way of everlasting life. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, and see, if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Today we're looking at the message, the awakened consciousness of God's presence. God present everywhere, God seeing everything, God knowing everything, the awakened consciousness of God's presence. For the sinner has a dead spirit, is dead in sin, is dead in trespasses, and as a dead man is not conscious of anything, a sinner is not conscious of the watching eyes of God, is not conscious, the conscience is dead, the spirit is dead, the inner man is dead, and he goes about without any feeling. He doesn't have any pricking in the conscience, he doesn't have any kind of consciousness that God is there, God is watching. But when you become born again, your spirit comes alive. He gives you eternal life, and with that eternal life, there is a consciousness. Christ lives on the inside, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is with you. And when you have to take a wrong step, you'll say, don't go there, this is the way to go, walk ye in it. And the Almighty God is ever present, and is saying, this is the way a child of God should go. Your consciousness is awakened, your spirit is awakened, your inner man is awakened, and you can live in that consciousness of the presence of God every time. The topic again, the awakened consciousness of God's presence. We're looking at the message under three perspectives. Number one, the awesome perception of the omniscient God, the God who knows all things, the God who understands all things, the God whose penetrating perception penetrates everything. He knows the motive before the action, he knows the plan, and he knows everything that we do. And when anything comes out in active, in real action, he perceives everything, and he records everything in his book. The awesome perception of the omniscient God. Number two, the actual presence is not an imagined presence, it's not a supposed reference, it's not a theoretical presence. The actual presence of the omnipresent God. Omni, that means everywhere. Present, that means is present everywhere. There is no place as high as the sky. There is no place as deep as the depths of the sea. There is no place far to the east. There is no place far to the west. There is no place at the rising sun. There is no place at the setting of sun, in light or darkness, where you will not find him, or where he cannot detect you and see through you what you are doing. The actual presence of the omnipresent God. Number three is the acceptable pursuit of the overcomer's godliness. God and godliness go together. Sin and Satan go together. A life of sin that ends in sin will spend eternity with Satan. A life of godliness, continual godliness, perpetual godliness, that ends in godliness, will spend eternity with God. God and godliness, God and righteousness. Then if you have that mind, that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, this is the acceptable pursuit, the overcomer's godliness. Let's look at number one. Number one, the awesome Perception of the omniscient God. We're coming to Psalm 139 from verse 1. And there are three things we're looking at here. Number one, God's penetrating knowledge of our ways. God's penetrating knowledge of our ways. You understand? Sometimes as you look at how science is going, you go before the X-ray, and the X-ray can see what your flesh covers and sees everything. Those laser lights penetrate into the inward parts of man. If man can do that by science, the Almighty God has the penetrating laser light from heaven that has the penetrating knowledge of all our ways. Number two, God's profound knowledge of our words. God's profound knowledge of our words. The words that come out of us, sometimes they are colored. Sometimes they are tailored to meet a particular thing. Sometimes they are hypocritical. And sometimes they are not sincere. But God knows the profound depth of what was behind or below those words. He understands the utterance, and he understands the thing that motivated the speaking of those words. Number three, God's peerless knowledge, infallible knowledge, perfect knowledge. God's peerless knowledge is wonderful. Let's come to number one. Number one is God's penetrating knowledge of our ways. It tells us in Psalm 139, reading from verse 1, O Lord, thou hast touched me. You have done it already, and you have known me. You know me, my inward parts. You know me, my outward action. You know me, my motives. You know me, my intention. You have searched me. It's like when somebody wants to enter into a building, and then there are officers there, and those officers will search him whether he has a right to enter into that building, or whether he has anything dangerous before he enters into the building. And then he's saying, I know you want those who are pardoned, and those who are peaceful, and those who are genuine in their relationship with you. And before I can enter into your premises and into your habitation, you have searched me, and you have known me. Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting when I sit and there is no action. You know my inactivity, and when I am not active, even the things that go on inside me, you know everything. And my uprising, and when I rise and I want to pursue something, you know what engineers me from within. And thou understandest my thought afar off. It appears that here I am on earth, and there you are in heaven, very far away, and yet you can tell. If man can devise the means, you are here in our country in Africa, and then you are talking to somebody in America, very far away, and the voice does not show in the air, and the things you are seeing does not show around, and yet there is a transfer of that voice that goes very far. And sometimes when you're using your computer, in fact, the human science is now telling us they're going to make some gadgets that will know what you are thinking about. And as you think about that, maybe you are typing and you are thinking about what's the appropriate word. The word you are thinking about will just show on your screen. If they can do that as human beings, think about God. God understands our thoughts afar off. The thought of evil and the thought of goodness and the thought of righteousness and the thought of a good intention, all the thoughts we have towards our neighbor, the thoughts we have towards the Almighty God, He knows everything, He knows it all, and He understands that afar off. And if He understands afar off, when we eventually get to His immediate presence in heaven and He's to judge and He opens the book, He will look at our words, our ways, He look at our thoughts, our plans, He look at our motives, because now we're in the immediate presence of the Lord. And He understands this all. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, He tells us, "Thou compassest my path." It says, "You are all around me, and you are watching me, and you encompass me. I cannot escape, neither can I conceal my action or whatever I do. My lying down, and thou art acquainted with all my ways." Thou art acquainted with all my ways. I cannot play any trick. I cannot play pranks that you will not know, that you will not detect. And if He says that He knows all our ways, and this God, the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, the Almighty God, if He knows everything about us, there is no hiding place. God's penetrating knowledge of our ways. It tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, reading from verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, we're looking at verse 9. "The heart is deceitful above all things." You see, people, they behave like chameleons. They can change their color, they cannot change their heart. The heart is still the same. They might present this action and that action, and the actions might interest you and excite you, but it's just the superficial life. God says He doesn't look at that. He looks at the very heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now God tells us in verse 10, He says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." The reins there in the original means the kidneys, ordinarily. But the kidney is standing in for all the inward parts, all the inward parts of man, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Hebrews chapter 4, reading from verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. "Neither is there any creature, saint or sinner, neither is there any creature, idol worshipper, or the worshipper of the true God, neither is there any creature in church or outside the church, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Let's go to the second subtitle there, God's profound knowledge of our words. God's profound knowledge of our words. It tells us in Psalm 139, reading from verse 4. Psalm 139, we're looking at verse 4. "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Idle words, there's not a word in my tongue. Cutting words, slanderous words, lying words, deceptive words, there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Encouraging word or discouraging word, a word that wants to destroy another person, a word that belittles others, proud words or humble words, or words that help other people to get up and words that kind of energize people, encourage people to move on. Every word in my mouth, you know everything, O Lord, thou knowest it all. We're looking at Psalm 50, reading from verse 19. Psalm 50 verse 19 tells us, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Your tongue creates deceit, your tongue frames it up, forms it, and it's all deceit. Check up your life. You know what the psalmist is saying? The psalmist is applying the word to himself. He says, my ways, my words, my tongue, my life, everything concerning me, thou knowest it all. And this man here, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. In verse 20, it says, thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Then in verse 21, it tells us, these things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee. You thought I didn't hear because I kept quiet. You thought I didn't know because I kept quiet. But I know, and I know everything. I know all those words you are speaking in the privacy of your room, at your dining table, when you are eating, and how you are chewing your neighbors and the brothers and the sisters on the table, and you are casting aspersions on them. I know it all. And it says, but I will reprove thee and search them in order before thine eyes. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, now consider this. Ye that forget God, when we speak as if we think God will not hear, when we slander as if God will not hear, when we deceive as if God will not hear, and when out of anger from the heart we're speaking to either the wife or the husband or the children or the parents, and when with malicious motive, mischievously, we're speaking to anyone, God says, consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. It says everything we do has a reckoning day, and I pray God will help us search everything right before that reckoning day, in Jesus' name. Look at number three here. Number three, God's peerless knowledge is wonderful. It says, wonder of all wonders, that I can say something in the corner of my room, and God knows, wonder of all wonders, that I can practice anything in the secret, and yet God knows. Do you understand? Even science and technology now can show everything where you are. For example, as we are standing here and preaching, all this message is going to another city. In fact, all the major cities and local churches in Nigeria and Africa and beyond, and we didn't run any cable like they did in the 19th century before they could connect other cities. We didn't run any cable, wireless. And yet, if they can see the picture far away, if they can see the voice far away, God says, I'm the creator of those scientists, I'm the creator of those technical people. If they could do that, I can do more. And it says, thou beseech me behind and before, and laid thy hands on me, I cannot escape. The peerless knowledge of God, that is very wonderful. Look at verse 6. It says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Such knowledge is too awesome. when I consider that and I see what God can do, He hears everything afar, He sees everything from afar, He perceives everything, even the motive, He perceives everything. This knowledge of God, this infinite knowledge of God, this peerless knowledge of God, this perfect knowledge of God is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And look at Job chapter 11. We're looking at verse 7. Job chapter 11, reading from verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou by searching find out God? Can you look around? Is there or is not there? By searching, can you find out God is there? He hears everything. He knows everything. And yet, because we're human, we must take that by faith. We must understand, if we have the proper concept of the true God, we must understand He is there. He is all-knowing, He is all-seeing, He is all-powerful, He is almighty. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty in the fullness of His attributes unto perfection? Look at Romans chapter 11. Verse 33, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That's the God we serve. That's the comfort for the believer. The believer has the comfort and he has the consideration. My God, my Father, He knows what I need. Even before I pray, He knows how I feel. He knows the pain. He knows the sickness. He knows everything. Because of that, we can go and ask and seek, and we can knock at His door, and He will open the door. That same knowledge should strike fear, consternation in the heart of the unbeliever, because everything that sinner has done, everything, everywhere that sinner has gone, everything that sinner has done in the private, God knows everything. And when we come to the final day, the reckoning day, the judgment day, the sinner will have the screen displayed before him. This day, that year, that time, look at what you did, and look at the abominations and the atrocities you committed. Because God sees everything, He knows everything, He searches every man, and He will give every man according to the work of His Son. We're coming to point number two now. In point number two, we have the actual presence of the omnipresent God. Omnipresent God is present everywhere. And we're looking at three things. Number one, no hiding place from the all-seeing God. No hiding place from the all-seeing God. Number two, no hidden person before the all-knowing God. He knows everyone, and there is no one who can hide in the crowd. There is no one who can hide anywhere that God will not know what He's doing. No hidden person before the all-knowing God. Number three, no hurried product. Everything God makes, He makes in such a wonderful way, in such an awesome way, in such a perfect way. He doesn't do something in a hurry that He created you or created me. He was in such a hurry. He forgot to make this one there and to do this here. No hurried product made by the Almighty God. We're coming to number one. Number one, no hiding place from the all-seeing God. We're looking at Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Then in verse 8, it says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. Or if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Hold on for a moment. I've been, you know, reminding you of the progress of science and the progress of technology. For example, now you are in this large auditorium, and we have some other adjacent rooms and offices. Because of the gadget that is put in place, anywhere you are, we can see you on the screen. Anywhere you are, we can see your actions, what you think you are doing in secret, and you look here and you look there, and you cannot see anybody. There is the gadget, there is a screen that captures everything that goes on. If man can do that, when you are behind closed doors, that the screen where you see display what you are doing, even the words you are speaking there, even if there's no microphone or anything there, they capture all those words, everything you are doing. And when the officers come back, they can play back what happened between a few days ago and today, because technology captures actions and captures pictures and captures everything. How much more the Almighty God? He says, if I ascend up to the highest place in the universe, thou art there. If I ascend, if I make my bed in the lowest place in the universe, thou art there. And then in verse 9, it says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, verse 10 tells us, for even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. What the psalmist is saying is, himself as a person, he had the conscious knowledge that before him, God is there. He cannot run ahead and say, I will outrun God, I will run to a place, I will run so fast, and God will not see me. And then God is behind. If he turns back and tries to do anything hidden, he says, God is there. And then he says, even his hand is laid upon me, above, around, in front, at the back, everywhere. He besets me. And because he besets me, there is no hiding place for me. Jeremiah chapter 23. In verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, from verse 23. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Where can you go so far that I will not see you, Jonah? You're fleeing from the presence of God. He's told you to go to Nineveh, but then you are turning to the other side, and God caught him there, and God saw him there, until he brought him back to the very gate of Nineveh. And that's what the Lord is saying. Am I so far away? I cannot see you. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Shall any man hide himself behind closed doors and do the unthinkable and do the immoral that I shall not see him? Shall a woman hide herself under behind a curtain and in a secret place and do what should not see the public, and then I will not know? He knows it all. All those iniquities, all those transgressions, all those evil things. And then can an officer in an office privately lock the door and neatly change all those accounting records, and I will not know? He knows everything. And that's why God is asking the question, and he says, can anyone hide himself, hide herself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Heaven and as he feels everywhere, and he can detect and he can see everything that is done. Amos chapter 9. In Amos chapter 9, reading from verse 2, it says, though they dig into hell, there shall my hand take them. They dig so deep, and they want to hide their action. They want to hide the evil covenant they are making. And they dig so deep, it says, even there shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. In verse 3, it tells us in verse 3, and though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out there. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, there will I command the serpent, and it shall bite them. So it's very clear, there's no hiding place from before the all-seeing God. Number two now. Number two, no hidden person before the all-knowing God. Is the all-knowing God. He knows every person. He knows our actions. He knows our inactivity. He knows our laziness. He knows our being dutiful. He knows us through and through, from heart to the spirit, to the mind, to the motive, to the intention. He knows it all. We're looking at Psalm 139, reading from verse 11. Psalm 139, verse 11. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Then in verse 12, it say, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. That is, God sees everything. He knows everything. And no darkness can hide any action, any intention, or any activity from him. Job chapter 12, verse 22. Job chapter 12, we're reading from verse 22. He discovereth deep things out of darkness. All the covenants people make, and they hide from their parents, or they hide from their wife, or they hide from their husband. All the covenants people make in the dark, and they hide from people who might correct them. He, the Almighty God, discovereth deep things out of darkness, and he bringeth out to light the shadow of death. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. What is done in darkness, he knows everything. And the light dwelleth with him. Let's look at number three there. Number three there, no hurried product made by the Almighty God. He doesn't hurry. He does everything. He frames everything. He creates everything. And it comes out of the hand of the Lord perfect. We're looking at Psalm 139, reading from verse 13. It says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Look at the knowledge of the psalmist. He said, when I was being formed in the belly, in the womb, you knew and you covered me. You protected me and you saw through everything. He said, from the tiny patch, the rays, before the bones come up, and before the muscles and the veins and the arteries and all the other parts come up in my body, you saw me and you supervised and you looked at all the various details in my coming up when I was just a fetus. It tells us in verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It says, I will praise thee as I think about all my veins and all the blood runs, all my intestines, as I think about how I eat food and that food is digested and then goes with all the nutrients into every part of the body, as I look at how the blood circulates and then how the heart pumps that blood and goes through everywhere, as I look at my skeleton and I look at my bone structure, I look at the small ones and the big ones, the long ones and the short ones, and now everything is so compacted together, is so framed together. It says, marvelous at thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He said, this is surprising to me, and this is a kind of wonder to me, that it's like the needlework that you frame together. Everything is in the proper place and everything is working together harmoniously. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous at thy works. Marvelous is thy creation, and that my soul knoweth right well. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. When I was made in secret. That what he's saying is, I was in my mother's womb and you were making me, and I was growing, you were creating me, all that in secret. Even my mother could not detect that secret, and the onlookers, yes, they knew that my mother was pregnant, but they couldn't tell how the bones grow, how the brain grows, and then how all the faculties I will need for all these my lifetime, how everything had been placed there. It says, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance. You watched over everything that I'm going to come out right, a complete human being, a reasonable human being, somebody that has mind, somebody that has spirit, somebody different from an animal who can think, who can plan, who can see vision, and who can decide, I want to go there. And then the energy and the strength that people cannot tell takes me from here and I go there, and I want to stop and then I stop. How the motions of life, how they carry on and go on. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, that is when it was being formed. If I had been born 5 months after pregnancy, that would be an untimely birth, because it's not perfect yet. And in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance, in continuance, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. It just giving glory to God and saying, the creation of man, it comes out as a product from the hand of the Almighty God, is wonderful. Look at Psalm 104, Psalm 104, we're reading from verse 24. Psalm 104, we're reading from verse 24. It says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. Think about our creation and think about our movement and everything concerning us. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Isaiah chapter 44, we're reading from verse 24. Isaiah chapter 44, reading from verse 24. Thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Here God Almighty confirmed, it's not just David, and it's not just Paul the Apostle in Galatians chapter 1, and not just Jeremiah in chapter 1 of Jeremiah. Here God Almighty says, thus says the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I am the Lord that made you, that made him, that created her. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. He did it all by himself. Thank God, you're a product that came out, a creation, a creature that came out of the hand of the Almighty God. If he has done such a wondrous work in the physical, in creating us, all that he need to create in the spiritual, he will do it in your life. He will do it in my life. He will perfect everything concerning you, concerning me, and concerning all our loved ones in Jesus' name. We come to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the acceptable pursuit of the overcomer's godliness. And three things we're looking at here: the thoughtful promises of God. Number two, the terrible punishment of the godless. Number three, the threefold prayer of the godly. Let's look at number one there, the thoughtful promises of God. Look at Psalm 139, reading from verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You see how the psalmist personalizes everything from verse 1, search me, try me. How he's personalizing everything. There's no word in my mouth, thou knowest it all, and you are acquainted with all my ways. And now he says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Is thinking of you, is thinking of me, and I pray every good thing the Lord has in plan, promise for you will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. In verse 18, if I should count them, all your thoughts towards me, all your plans for me, all your promises for me, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. It says, I sleep, before I sleep, I'm with you. And then I sleep, and God so works it out. When I sleep, I'm not conscious of anything. I'm there and you're watching over me. I'm completely gone. I don't even feel the bed on which I sleep. I don't feel anything at all. And the community that in which of that house, I don't feel anything. All of a sudden, at the time to wake up, your spirit comes there. And I don't know how it happens. You just wake up. And then you come alive again and you begin to live again. It says, I honor God. In the activities of the day, it's God. In the motions of the day, it's God. And in the sleep of the night, when I'm not conscious about anything, it is still God. And at the time to wake up, it just wakes me up. And it says, I give all the glory to God. If I shall count all the good things that God is doing, all the good plans, all the good promises, I cannot count them. They are more in number than the sun. When I awake, I am still with thee. It tells us in Psalm 31, verse 19. In Psalm 31, reading from verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. It says, as we trust in God, we cannot get to the height of his provision. It's so great and it's so wonderful for the sons of men. It tells us in Psalm 40, verse 5, Psalm 40, we're looking at verse 5, it says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards what they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. It says, all the good thoughts of God concerning me, all the good plans of God concerning me and all the promises of God concerning me, if I will number them, I cannot number them. There is a promise for every situation in your life, a promise for every predicament, every problem, every challenge you have. And as the problems grow and multiply, if they do, the promises are there and will cover you. And there'll be no failure, there'll be fulfillment of those innumerable promises in your life in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're looking at verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him? I said, do you love him? Eye has not seen, ears have not heard, has not entered into the heart of any man the great things, the good things, and the profitable things God has prepared for you. You'll be a possessor in Jesus' name. Number two is the terrible punishment of the godless. And here the psalmist says, yes, I know the godly is there, and good things are happening to them, and from generation to generation good things will keep on happening to the godly and to the believer. But he says there are godless people. In Psalm 139 verse 19, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God, depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. It says judgment is coming upon the wicked. You remember, you know what happens here in life. Maybe you are a regular person, you are a good person, you are an upright person, but the police people are looking for a criminal. And as they find you with that criminal, they don't make any difference for us. They arrest all of you and go to lock you up. And you might spend some days in detention just because you are with the wrong person in the wrong place at such a time. And so he says, judgment is coming. The Lord will slay the wicked. Therefore, separate yourself from me. I separate myself from you if you are bloody men. In verse 20, it tells us, for they speak against thee wickedly. I cannot stay with them. I cannot abide with them. I cannot join any kind of business with them. They speak against God wickedly. They slander the Lord. They belittle the Lord. They sin against God. And thine enemies make, they take thy name in vain. It says those who take the name of God in vain, they are the enemies of God. I'm a child of God, I will not stay with them. I'm a believer in God, I will not stay with them. And more so, I know whatever word I contribute that will encourage that wicked man, that wicked woman, all my words are marked down by the Lord. And I will not see, I will not allow him to see me saying anything or doing anything with the wicked. Then he tells us in verse 21, he says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Can I fellowship with them who hate you? Can I befriend them who hate you? Can I take them to the restaurant and say I'm eating with them, fellowshipping with them, when I know they hate you passionately? Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Can I help them? Can I support them? Can I encourage them? They are blasphemers and they are outrageously evil and wicked. They hate you. They are your enemies. Do I not hate them also, O Lord, because of my love for you? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? Verse 22, it says, I hate them with perfect hatred. It's not because they have even offended me, they have offended you, they have slandered you, and they have been wicked against you. Because of that, the same mind you'll have towards them, I have towards them. The same action you'll take towards them, I take concerning them. I count them mine enemies. Look at Psalm 9, verse 17. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. In Psalm 94, verse 23, Psalm 94, verse 23, it says, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity. It's the iniquity. They possess that iniquity. They give birth to that iniquity. And like babies are given to their mothers, and the mothers have to bear responsibility of their own babies. These people who take iniquity like a baby, and they protect that iniquity, and they nurse that iniquity, and they grow that iniquity, and they hold on to that iniquity without repentance, they will bear their iniquity. He shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. You will not be among the number. We're coming to number three there. Number three, it says, search me and try me. It's saying the threefold prayer of the godly, person. Look at Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. In verse 24, it says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He prays to God at the conclusion of the psalm. He says, the first prayer, he says, search me and try me. Search me and try me. Look at that verse 23 again. He says, search me, O God. Man may try to search me, but I can be very clever. They ask me questions, and I can dodge, and they investigate, and I can wave that off and distract their attention from the question they are asking, and go round about, tell this story, tell that story, and tell them things they are not asking of, and then they'll forget what they're looking for. But God, I cannot do that with you, because you know me from inside out. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He can, and when he does, his blessing will rest upon the people who open up to the Lord. If there's anything to cleanse, if there's anything to correct, the Lord will do that, and he'll put your feet in the path that leads to heaven in Jesus' name. And look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, reading from verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to his doing. In the prayer that the psalmist prayed, number two now, know my heart and my thoughts. We're coming back to 139, Psalm 139. We're looking at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. And when you know my heart, reveal myself unto me. Show me how dirty I am. Show me how unclean I am. Show me how unacceptable I am. Reveal myself to me. Try me and know my thoughts. I cannot discern. I cannot decipher. I cannot know all the consequences of the things I'm thinking about. Sometimes the thoughts just take over, and they are running through my mind. But Lord, try me and know my thoughts. It says that the Lord only that can search him and know him. Look at Job chapter 34. In Job chapter 34, we're reading from verse 31. Surely it is meet, it is fit, it is proper to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will offend no more. Verse 32, that which I see not, teach thou me, as you examine me, and as you investigate me, as you evaluate my life, as you x-ray everything within me, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Praise the Lord. May God give that kind of heart to every one of us in Jesus' name. And then we're looking at number three now, Psalm 139 verse 24. Psalm 139 verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I think I'm saved. I think my sins are blotted out. I believe I'm your child. I believe I'm walking in your will, but you know more than I know. Search me, try me, find out what's in my heart, find out what's in my life, and as you see everything, my ways, my will, my words, my thoughts, my motive, my intention, everything I've been doing, and the thing that propels me to go on, if you find anything that is not according to your expectation, and see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. We still have the chance, and the everlasting God, the eternal God, is the loving God. Yes, it's the all-knowing God. He knows everything, but this day is not coming as a judge. This day is coming as a helper. It's coming as the one that will pardon. It's coming as the cleanser. It's coming as the one that will refine us and reform us and make us new enough to be in his presence forever and ever. And as you come to the Lord with this psalm, and you are saying, oh Lord, I'm open before you, nothing can be hidden, I will not try to cover up anything, search me and try me and know what my heart looks like, and know whether I am ready for heaven, whether I am ready for glory, whether I'm ready for the eternal habitation in heaven. Lord, show me myself, and if there's anything, let the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, avail for me, cleanse me, and lead me in your power unto the eternal preferred destination. I want to be in heaven at last. Help me, Lord. I'll be there. And when Christ comes, the people who have been cleansed, and the people who have been forgiven, and the people who have been empowered to live the righteous life, walking in peace with everyone, and holiness without which no one shall see the Lord, every one of us will be raptured, will be with the Lord in Jesus' name. Your name will be there. I said your name will be there. And whatever it is that God needs to cleanse, present everything to the Lord tonight and let him do it. He'll perfect everything concerning you in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer as we call on Pastor Pius Idume from Delta State to lead us in prayer.